these things take a lot of time and effort to put together and make sure we've got accuracy and that we're complete in everything that we do. We don't have an exhaustive finance department or administrative staffing that do nothing but data entry. So all of this lands on her back and supported by Rachel and myself and everybody that's putting in numbers. So I really want to extend appreciation for that. The main purpose of the budget is to establish an estimate of what our costs are going to be for the upcoming year. It's also for transparency, obviously, for people to know where we plan to spend the money. And it's also for accountability so that as we go forward, what we say we're going to do, we accomplish, and what we spend, there's an accounting record for it. And we know that the fees we're charging are going to the right place and that we're efficiently spending the money of the customers and taxpayers. And so we are constantly improving the quality of this document and its content to make it user-friendly and understandable, because I'm sure you've seen some budgets that you look at and just your eyes go crossed and you can't figure out what in the heck you're looking at all. And hopefully this is hits home without a heck of a lot of work to understand it. But what we do is we are constantly working on the budget from year to year, month to month, quarter to quarter, everything else. We're constantly making adjustments and where we're going to be this year and the following year. And so this is when it all comes together, estimating where we expect to be for the upcoming year. And what we do is we look at the goals of the district through the board goals, the management objectives, and we look at what it's going to take in terms of people, effort, expenses, improvements to be able to get to that end result and accomplish those goals. So we had a number of goals that I'm not going to get into a lot of detail on, but just say that this budget does contain a number of items that support our staff. And when I say support our staff, it's basically everything from staff development to the morale, to our ability to recruit and retain employees, the work environment that we have, the health and safety of that work environment, and which ultimately results in productivity of both the board, management, and all throughout staff. So we're continuing with the same amount of staffing that we had last year. There's no reduction or increase in positions, either administrative or field staff. Basically what positions we have on the books now are the ones that we're proposing to continue with this next year. One of the things that we are in the process of evaluating it per board direction is our level of staffing, whether we have adequate staffing for continuity in the event that what we have experienced over the last couple of months occurs, and if it ever did hit home, do we have the staffing and do we have the capability to be able to maintain continuity of services? Okay, it's a federal and state responsibility that we have to evaluate that and make sure. And also to provide flexibility to move people around within the different departments. For example, somebody who's in distribution and collection, in order to be able to move them into treatment to get that experience, to get their certification there, that means we have to be able to backfill in the distribution side. So looking at the staffing levels in the future that provide us that flexibility, so that in the event that, God forbid, but if Greg had two people go down, he basically would be, his remaining two people would be working 24/7 to keep the system full of water and the wastewater treated. And the ability to move people over from distribution and collection and get them into a certified position as an operator takes time in the field. And so, or takes time in the trade. So we have to be able to move them and backfill so that we keep both sides operational. Anyway, that's a long answer to looking at the continuity of service in the workforce. So same level of staffing, but looking at the future Maintaining employee benefits at the current level. You see in the budget, we have reduced medical expenses overall a little bit by going with the different plan that we did. And Jennifer can explain more about that if you have any questions. But it's going to take a year, this fiscal year to know what our total experience is to make sure that we are seeing the same cost or even a reduced cost on medical expenses going with the higher deductible plan because insurance continues to go up. We are proposing to do a little bit more consultant work to look at the advancement plan for employees, the training and advancement and employee development plan, and the finalized job classifications. We've been struggling with that. We talked about that at the last board meeting. Continuing to implement technology that increases our efficiency and our effectiveness in both the administrative side and in the field. It's a big focus because there's a big world out there that we don't have experience with. We haven't had truly high speed internet. We haven't had a lot of exposure to what possibilities are there that are coming to light now that people are working remotely, social distancing, and becoming very productive in making sure systems operate when you're not sitting there in front of them. So we'll continue to improve our technology. One thing that we didn't talk about at the last meeting was developing a plan for office renovation that considers the health and safety of employees and customers as it relates to the office operation. And that would be a combination of procedures that would be ways that we would conduct our business in there as well as hardware, modifications to the building. Right now, once you go past that interior door, you're in a little area with you have to communicate either down the hall or in a very close environment with a lot of people. And there are ways that we can improve the flow and function of that office, I think, with just some renovation. So we're going to need to have somebody take a look at that with us to see what we do there, and also how we integrate remote work strategies. So that we can, sometimes it's better, it's more expensive to renovate the office than to have somebody work at home part-time or full-time that can. So anyway, those are all considered in the budget. And basically we're looking at finishing our capital improvement plans. And the capital improvement plans for all the services will then be looked at in terms of connection fees, mitigation fees, and how that relates to our money going forward. The revenue, the rates and charges that we have to support that, and that is the same with the master plans. Those will be completed this year, and those will look at what improvements we may make to our water and sewer treatment and distribution and collection systems that will meet regulatory requirements long term and reduce cost and increase efficiency and all that. And so we'll be faced with a lot of big decisions planning wise. And I'm almost done with just this overview. The master plans, connection capacity fee studies that we approved at the recent meeting, going forward with a consultant proposal. We will look at implementing the fire master plan recommendations this year. I am continuing to pursue a revenue measure of some sort when the time is right, to make sure that we can fund the fire department. We'll continue to put in the engineering and management effort to secure the grant and loan agreements that we've talked about a million times. We are continuing to look at ways to improve our technology as it relates to SCADA, and that's the supervisory control and data acquisition that takes place between all of our pump stations, all of our facilities, and the main office and our operators. And we rely on that to keep the system functional because we can't be in all places at one time. The majority of this technology Spence worked on when he was an employee of the district. And we have continued to make upgrades at individual sites, but there's a real possibility that we could, per our discussion about broadband, there's a real possibility that we could partner in the enhancement of broadband throughout the district, and that would help our systems communicate better. And there may be some investments that come back to the board associated with that, related to our internet technologies and partnerships with entities that have grants to do broadband expansion in our area, and how that relates to our operation. That's going to be a pretty exciting. I don't mean to be vague about it, but we're looking at a possible partnership arrangement, and we're continuing to keep that in our sights as we put the budget together. We're going to replace a couple of vehicles that we just don't have the mechanical capabilities to keep on the road, but we need the vehicles to be able to deliver our services. We're going to implement our parking lot improvements systematically. We're going to continue with our same level of and enhanced outreach and customer communication. I think we've been doing a great job. We've been getting good feedback. And we'll continue to be dynamic in the way that we deliver our message to our customers. And certainly welcome any input on that. Lastly, finances. Obviously, the revenue measure for fire is a big one. And once we develop our capital improvement plans, that's the replacements that we're going to do systematically over the next few years of our systems, and also our long-term master plan improvements. Those all get looked at from a financial perspective. Do we borrow money? How much in grants might be available? What kind of rates do we need to support those types of improvements? Because right now we don't have a really good long-term financial plan for infrastructure replacement and improvement, and that's what these plans do, and they will be finished this year. And there may be the need, once we get through that, there may be the need to actually have a reserve study done. And that is where a professional financial consulting firm comes in and looks at your cash flow, your customer base, your growth, your operating cost, and your capital improvement cost needs into the future, and then puts a plan together on how much money you need to put away each year, and how you invest that, and all that. So those are big things to set up for the future. Again, we set this up so that future boards, future management, future staff, when they come in, they've got a system, a cookbook method of going forward, knowing how to spend and invest and what improvements are to be made. A couple of things related to, obviously we're going to continue leadership development and training, and we'll continue going to conferences and training once that's reestablished. I love the way my camera is flashing on and off and turning me red and pink and white and brown. So excuse that.
You're not changing colors though. It's just your screen.
We're not seeing anything.
Okay.
Well, except for the polka dots.
Yeah. So the there's also, we have criteria that we use. So we talked about those, what I just talked about were the budget objectives. What do we want the budget to accomplish? And then there's criteria that, that staff uses that are usually bookends that we have to do, that we have to meet. And that's things like, you know, continuing to provide customer service, implementing our sanitary sewer management plan, meeting regulatory requirements, conducting preventative maintenance programs, completing system repairs, all of that, all of those have to be included in our cost related to the, you know, related to projecting what we have expenses for in the future. And really the water and sewer are the most variable in that regard. You know, because the CAL FIRE arrangement is pretty predictable. As far as we know what we're up against in that relationship. So it tends to focus on water and sewer. Jen can talk a little bit more about our revenue assumptions, but the revenue that we've included in the budget just assumes that we're going to continue on the same path. We've got a very small water rate increase. We've got the sewer rate increase that was approved. That is planned to move forward and programmed into our revenue, and very, very little change in property tax revenue. We always calculate in a 2%, because that's usually the minimum of what it will increase. And then we don't have a huge number of expense changes other than what we talked about last time, with the insurance liability and workers' comp and those increasing across the board, and pretty much fuel costs are lower, but we are using more fuel just because of the estimated PSPS from our experience last year.
Did we get updates on the there were a couple we were going to ask about. Bob was going to talk about our insurance with his group that he belongs to. I'm sorry. And the do we have any information on that?
We do. I reached out to Ellen at SDRMA, and it's unfortunately not a very, like, this is the reason why. The way the insurance has worked, there's a bunch of layers of reasons why. Predominantly, for the main increase, sorry, I'm looking at her email right now. For the Groveland CSD, the increase is above the average 25% due to the district's 10% increase in the total operating budget for fiscal year 2020-2021 and the $10 million liability limits. She goes into a much more detailed, you know, with the different layers, and by reducing this to that, you could roughly save this amount of money, but essentially it's because of the 10% increase in our total operating budget and the high liability limit that we currently carry. And we did, for the work comp side, we did have two claims for that this last year. So that's the increase for the work comp side.
So two claims equals 46% increase in the workers' comp.
That, in addition to just the, you know, it's, we're in that pool and whatever they feel is their liability. So it's what we had existing, and then in addition to what the insurance market just perceives as they've had this, you know, they've had a an increase in claims throughout, so we're affected by that.
Okay.
One of the things that can happen with the experience module, which is what affects the workers' comp, is we've been pretty low. If I remember correctly, we've had pretty positive. So having two claims in one year, we're a small agency, that would have a fairly large impact on the experience module factor, which, if we have another clean year or two, then it goes away again.
Okay.
think, Jennifer, thank you. I think the 10%, I kind of forgot about the fact that we added our, increased our payroll pretty substantially, and the liability part of the property and liability is flagged directly to, it's charged against payroll. Mm-hmm. Just because you have to charge it against something. So that 10% increase would be on top of the 20% increase that everybody experienced because the SDRMA had to raise the rates.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Dennis, were you going back through a couple of things? Or Jennifer, do you have the ability to address some of the items that came up at the last meeting and how those were reflected in the revised budget?
Yes. So just to start with, as far as the revenue goes, I know we had a question for based on the water and the sewer side, and I know Bob had that as well. So the way the revenue was projected for the upcoming fiscal year was that we projected the actuals, because we've had connections and things that have happened since we did this budget essentially, which increased the ultimate, the end fixed charges and variable charges. So we projected the fiscal year end based on the next couple of billing cycles, which is really easily, you know, we can predict it really easily. And then we added, based on what the projected year end totals were going to be for revenue, we added what the upcoming current fiscal year rate increases were going to be. So we just added the percentage, the 15% to sewer and 3% to water on top of what we projected the actuals for the previous fiscal year. So that's where those numbers come from. The CalPERS retirements, it was due to higher payroll and increased employer cost rate. I touched upon that at the last meeting. The decrease in the dental and the vision and the health plan was due to the fact that we changed our medical plan to a significantly different type of plan with an employer coinsurance that brought the district's expense for employee health care down a bit. Let's see. Sorry, I'm just going through my items in the expenses. Okay. Bob, in one of your questions, I think we touched upon this at the last meeting, which is the incentive pay step increase study. It was we are going to hopefully reach out to some type of consulting firm to perform a study for us that will map out how employees can advance from one range to the next. We don't really have anything in place right now. We've got a schedule in place, but we don't have exactly how employees advance through the range. And in addition to that, the incentive pay was a program for them to develop where employees obtain something that's going to be of value or benefit to the district, whether it's like a safety compliance officer or something that employees can have an option to go after and accomplish and achieve that would result in an incentive pay for them as well as a benefit to the district. So that's kind of the salary advancement and the incentive pay are one in the same study that we're looking for. Does that answer?
Okay, so this is actually the what we had previously referred to as the employee advancement study or something like that.
Correct. Okay. And I think for the most part, as far as the questions I had from the last meeting was specific to what I just talked about, and most importantly was the insurance increase, which I think I've addressed. And then I don't know if anybody has any other questions that I'm outstanding for me. I know we want to go over, look at capital specifically. Yeah, Janice.
What Why did we have a 55% increase in outside services? Is that the
Are you looking on the district?
I'm looking at the annual budget, the whole giant page.
Yeah, so it's probably because, well, we'd have
for
to.
For admin.
For admin?
Yeah.
It's because we have the impact mitigation fee study that we've added in there, which is $49,000. HR consultant, the study I was just referring to for the salary advancement incentive pay study, which is $20,000. So those two items there are why it increased that this current outside service is $67,700.
Okay.
That's broken down in the, when you look at the actual admin, the admin expense sheet, we break those out into outside services. You'll see the specific line items in there that reflect okay. change.
Okay, thank you. That's it for me.
I'm happy, so if I feel like maybe if we wanna, if anybody has any other questions as far as the operating expenses, you can, on any of the funds, if you want to ask that now, and then maybe after that we can move into the talk specifically about capital projects, which Louie and Pete will be able to help explain why and where we are currently with this current fiscal year, and then the plans for the upcoming fiscal year. So does that work, Janice?
Yeah, I have one more question then. The credit card fees, the charges that the district pays to the bank,
correct,
to allow constituents to pay their bills with credit cards. That's like what, $45,000 a year?
And yeah, $41,000.
Just out of curiosity, is it possible to not use the card that's charging us the most, like an American Express card charges us? That company charges GCSD more to use that card than a Visa, and it charges more to use a debit than a credit card. And I mean, there's all kinds of ways you can trim that amount. I don't know.
So we do not accept the expensive credit cards. We only accept Visa and MasterCard.
Okay.
I believe I'm going to have to check with Deborah on this. But I want to say, I feel that our Springbrook charges for having online bill pay and people to view their accounts and everything else is also built into this expense, other than just what we're getting for the credit cards. Because we get, for hosting online accounts, we get charged like 5% or 5%, a nickel for each account. And then how many people are using how many people, like Springbrook charges us an expense for having people use the credit cards, and then we get charged the actual merchant fees from the credit card people with the rewards, and we get a whole breakdown of the different credit cards. So right. I want to say I think Springbrook charges may be in here as well, and it's not just reflective of those merchant fees for the credit cards.
Okay. To me, that seems odd. That would be in a Springbrook charge just because it's to use the, I mean.
Yeah,
that seems like
it's credit card related. It's separate from like our membership that we pay to Springbrook to just host the suite. We get billed separately for having web payments. It's all the credit card based stuff. And then also people being able to view their accounts. So let me look into that.
Okay. And is there any possibility that the constituents can pay a fee to use their credit card, or is that not something we want to do?
We already get a discounted rate through the merchants of Visa and MasterCard, but we cannot pass through that any type of expense onto our customers. That's the way we get the break from it. Okay. So
Okay.
We can, but then we would lose that discounted rate.
Right. Okay. All right. So they get the points and they get the no pay. Yay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but at the same time, you know, this is, it's the annual expense is, you know, it's what a $41,000, but it's really helped the, like, one thing with the system is staff used to manually take credit card payments all the time. And it was a very time consuming process that took, we'd have to take the payments, we'd have to close the batches, we'd have, so there was a lot of staff time that was saved by the district moving into this new system. Mm-hmm. We get more payments faster because of it, because of auto pay, and then the convenience mm-hmm. to the customer. So it, there was a long time ago when I was first implementing web payments where I did this huge spreadsheet to justify the cost of it, because people see it and they're like, oh, but when I broke it down to like how many hours fully loaded of staff to do this, in addition, there was a benefit to it. And then there's just kind of a benefit of, you know, we are in a very digital age and a lot of people
right,
are in
right.
this way of paying now. And so there is an right. expense to it, but it also brings a big convenience to our customers in addition to there are cost savings recognized within the district as okay. well.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else have any other questions on it? Okay, Nancy?
I basically have
okay.
both of those questions, but they've both been answered. But go back a couple more pages, and there's also like a large increase in the return check fee. Like, do we charge, do we do like that NSA charge type of thing when we have that type of event happen?
You're talking in our revenue?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, this is for the water revenue. This one happens to be.
That's a revenue, though.
Yeah, it's what we bring in. We do charge for bad checks.
Okay.
Yeah, it's 350. I mean, it shows a big percent, but it's $357.
It's a small amount, but yeah, it's like, I don't know, it just amazes me that people write bad checks, but.
Oh yeah, they do. So I'm assuming that when Deb changed this, these are all really predictable numbers. So she definitely had to have gone off of what our projected year end was going to be for this current fiscal year.
Okay, I got a couple things. Maybe you're going to hit them later, but there's a $80,000 forecasted for IT in admin. And the question I have is, it looks like 70% or 70,000 of that is allocated to water, or comes from water, whichever way that works. Is that a capital? It says here that it's an operating expense, not a capital item.
What page are you on, Bob? On that
page.
On the water seven. Only.
Page seven. Page seven.
Thank you.
So that's not 80. That's total for, it's only up 5%, 5,000 from the previous year. And then that amount is divided over the funds by the percentages that we have.
Well, yeah, the question is, I have to go back and look now elsewhere, but I think the notice that I made, it was that it looked like more, almost all of it was allocated to water.
Give me a sec while I pull up the actual, because we have this hides a bunch of columns of the allocation to the four separate funds. So I can, give me a moment while I pull up the actual dollar amount.
Yeah, Bob, I'm cross-referencing the water expense budget to see if you saw it at a similar amount there, because part of it is you wouldn't see it in the water budget, except it comes in the form of the administrative allocation from the admin into the water budget. But there is also a separate line item within the water expenses related to technology, because that the SCADA and all of that work is specific to Yeah, there's a $70,000 amount in their computer maintenance program IT. Those are dollars specific to that that department in maintaining and improving and replacing components of all of the communication and data equipment that we have there.
So is that a separate additional item from the $80,000 in admin?
Yeah.
But so where does the allocate then? Where does the allocation from the admin $80,000 show up in water?
Look at the very bottom of page 11, where it says admin allocation transfer out, and that 865,476. A portion of that, I believe, 58% of that 80,000 or 75,000 comes in in that place.
What confused me was that the listing, the title listing for programming blah blah slash IT slash whatever was the same in the water as in the admin. So I thought it was the same item. So that's an additional charge, okay, for SCADA.
I think just from a transparency perspective, I think that's something that we can either address the title or in the description or notes or something. So can we just take note of that? That we'll make some apparent change there just so that it's very clear. Because that's becoming a topic of evaluation, Bob, as you can imagine, when the expenses get to this level and seem to sustain an increase continuously. We've got to rethink how we're doing this. Are we trying to keep old equipment? Are we not staffed or trained right to be able to take care of this stuff? There's a lot going on. A lot of parts to this that we've got to understand.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, that's a fairly significant chunk of money just for that portion of our IT component, an important and undeniably critical component, but still the ongoing, if that's going to be an ongoing expense, there's,
Rachel and Jen, can we make note that in the budget memo, I'll do a separate discussion of the technology expenses and I'll identify what those are and what they were last year, what we're investing that money in, just so we can separate that out clearly in the narrative part of it.
I already have it down.
Does that work on the board?
Okay, so Bobby, I think Pete answered your question. I thought you were talking more specifically about the allocation to the water fund specific for us, but you were talking about the other, it falling into another line item, so.
It's an additional $70,000. I got that now. So as long as I'm here, the safety program for assessment and update. I think that's been alluded to, but can you give us a little idea about what's going on for 120?
Yeah, that's evolved since our last discussion. Because there was a specific discussion about what's called an ARC flash assessment that is basically just one component of a safety program requirement when you're dealing with live electricity and how you protect yourself from that. We don't, like I said in the beginning, we don't have an extensive, safety compliance staff. We kind of all share in those responsibilities and training. And the thing is, when you look back at the history of the district, rewind 10 years ago and prior, we regularly had a safety consultant deliver our safety program and update our safety program every year. In fact, we entered into multi-year contracts with them to do that. And, you know, when you start to see increases in injuries, not that we've really seen anything significant, but, you know, we've got a lot of people who don't have experience in working in certain aspects of their of their job, and we don't have the ability to update the procedures internally because it takes an understanding of OSHA requirements and ergonomics, and it's a specific trade that's outside of our area of expertise. So this would be, rather than just looking at one piece of, you know, electrical safety, it would be looking at our entire IIPP injury and illness prevention program and our practices and procedures, updating it for today, and coming up with a plan, because there'll be probably other studies that we were supposed to have done or procedures that we were supposed to have had done over the last 10 years that have not. And so that's where we'll be.
One of the things that caught my attention is that $127,000 is kind of a specific number. Does that mean you already have a prospective contractor in mind?
No, give me a page number, Bob. That number doesn't sound right.
Hey, Bob, this is Spence. Could you also give the name of the title of the page that you're looking on?
It's page, so for water, it's page 11. There's another entry on the sewer section.
If I may, just to help me, if you would give the name of the spreadsheet up at the very top of the spreadsheet, you know, like water expenses, admin water, revenue.
Page 11, water expenses. There's a corresponding entry on the sewer. I can find it. Give me a second.
Oh, yeah. And when you combine the two of them together, this is probably multiplying it at, based on the ratio of water to sewer customers and not including park and fire, I assume. Jim, do you know on that particular sheet?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
The safety program assessment and update, there appears to be a very specific amount allocated in the water expenses on page 11, which means that it's a multiplication. It's a proportional share of a total that may be between just water and just sewer.
Louis's on the line. Louis? These are Louis.
The thing is, there was no budget item in the last budget for this. So you're not like multiplying something. This is an incremental factor. It's just a number that came out of someplace. So I just wondered how come.
There is a method behind this, and Louis was the one who put this together. As I know, we talked about it, how we got the figure, because we had to fix it. Louis, are you there?
I'm there. Sorry, I was on mute. Right. Yes, that number is actually specific because it was the estimate for the arc flash study that Pete was talking about, and for some maintenance to our electrical cabinets that we currently have to bring them up to date by cleaning and rodent infestation and that kind of stuff, going through them and doing heat analysis on them. And so I just left those numbers as that. But the safety assessment that I've been talking with, it's actually Dual Safety, gave us a budget or an estimate that was way lower that to come in and actually assess our safety program of what we currently have. That's not saying it's going to push it into the next realm, but it's going to assess what we have and what we're doing and how we're maintaining our documentation. And so then hopefully we'll be able to assess a little farther into what we need to do.
And how did you divide, how did you separate that total expense, Lou? Did you do a 68-32 split?
Yes, 6832. Yep.
Of the total cost.
Of the total budgeted the quoted amount.
So the quoted amount was for the flash. I'm sorry, I can't understand what you said, but the electrical safety training and also doing some repair work, or is this now a quote from the safety consultant?
Yeah, there was. No, there was two different quote. There was two quoted amounts. One was for the arc flash study, which was the bigger portion of the cost. But then there was a portion to come in and do maintenance on our existing electrical cabinets and do heat analysis tests, go through, tighten wires, clean stuff up, check for rodent infestation. And that was a separate part. So there was two quoted amounts into that total.
And Bob, you're correct that this number that's in this budget and split out between water and sewer reflects the prior thinking of the arc flash study and the maintenance combined. So what it would be a different number if we had a current estimate from a consultant to do the program work. When I saw this estimate between the last budget meeting and this one, and just had a lot of questions. I was really concerned that we were going down a single, you know, just a one-dimensional path of looking at one thing and needed to look at more. So we backed off of the arc flash study. So these numbers are not, these numbers will be adjusted going forward in the next budget. You'll see a certain amount for program safety program assessment and update that will be split between, I would think that it needs to be looked at water, sewer, maybe park and fire. I'm not sure, but for sure water and sewer. And then there will be a separate number. We'll move the maintenance outside services, electrical cabinet maintenance out into its own separate outside services item. Okay. And there it's not going to be a specific arc flash study. So there'll be a different number and we'll add the maintenance outside of the safety program. So it's by itself.
Okay. I think probably a good safety analysis is probably a really good idea. I just want to make sure that this, I mean, is there, you know, that there will be enough money in the budget to cover.
We're going to do a about a $5,000 cursory evaluation and then we'll know. So that's the first thing, is to have them come in and look at the documentation and records, and then they'll prepare a plan. So we may have a budget adjustment, but we're going to estimate where we think we can get it done. Thanks, Louie.
Thank you, Louie.
No problem. I'm going to take a short break. I got to run to the dentist. I'll meet back up in here about 15, hopefully.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Good questions so far. Keep them coming.
Well, okay. I'm still going. We're going to go through capital, right?
Yes.
So I'll just, there's, wait for that. Jennifer, I'm pretty sure on the debt service, we have this thing where we're under, it looks like we're under collecting, but we're doing that on purpose, right? Because we're paying back from when we were over collecting.
I mean, correct.
Does everybody?
Oh, you're muted.
I just wondered I don't know if we've discussed this in the past with this board so that they know why we're currently sort of under collecting on our debt service.
Sure, I can go over it again. So the district, it was probably like 3-4 years ago now. I was noticing that our account for collecting on the debt service had an excess in it, a significant excess that had accumulated over the lifetime of the district collecting on the debt service. And so a few years back, we had Gilbert Associates, because there was no point to, we couldn't use the money to pay off the debt any sooner. There was that caveat that we could not do that. So I had Gilbert Associates take what we had in excess and use that to perform a calculation to recalculate the debt service we collected so that we only needed to collect enough to pay it off when it was due. And so that's what we started collecting less, and it looks like we're collecting not enough to meet the annual obligation, but that's because we're drawing down that huge excess that had accumulated over the years. Does that make sense? Janice, you look perplexed.
No, that looks...
I just wasn't sure that everybody, that we'd ever talked about that with the current board members, except John. I mean, he and I voted for it way back. That's all.
Thank you.
Any other questions on operating before we move to capital?
Operating.
I want to just ask a question real quick, Jennifer, too, because I know I had Jen making last minute adjustments all the way until the very last minute last week. So again, I really appreciate it. But on the loan expense and sewer, we've added in the debt service for the on page 15. Added in the debt service for the new sewer improvement debt.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I see the other debt service amount in here in addition. So we may want
to add this to our debt service, or you're just not seeing debt service?
I don't have the debt schedule to be able to see if that 105,838 is the combination of the principal and interest payments on both the $1.5 million and the repayment or the refinancing of the other debt.
What page, Pete?
I'm on page 15.
Also, just as a typo, it's not lease expense.
Right.
Oh, thanks, Bob.
Because when you look at the debt service schedule on the very last page, that's an expense of $297,655, and that would be additive, or that would be added into, unless we're zeroing this out just by itself. We can talk about it anyway. Okay. We need to just double check the numbers on the debt service on sewer.
Okay.
We'll do that internally. So on the capital.
But Pete, before you move off of expense, I just wanted to add, just for the board, just to have this expectation. One thing that this budget will see changed is in the fire expenses. Not a huge change, but one thing that we are going to have in there the next go around is we do have the salaries are going to increase because we have the proposed resident firefighters, the two proposed resident firefighters that the board approved in the revised org chart, in addition to the defensible space inspector, temporary part-time seasonal positions that are going to be added into this the salary line item for fire. We did receive a grant to cover the defensible space inspector positions, which we already received in the previous fiscal year. So that the salaries will be reflected in there, but the expense is not is not one that we're gonna be paying out of actual operating expenses for fire, but the resident firefighters will be. I wanna say that's like $17,000, I think, for the annual for two resident firefighting positions. So just expect to see that change on the next one. I just wanted to talk about that before we moved on to capital.
Okay. I'm starting on page 23, capital outlay.
Okay, hold on.
And the first sheet is admin capital outlay, and one thing to make sure we understand, it'll be explained in the budget memo, is that these numbers show up here because that the total amount of each of the project costs, and then it's split out. You'll see those again, a proportional share, and it's noted as what's called a fund share That at, it's not doubled up. It's basically there's this is just a snapshot picture of the total expenses for things that benefit all services. So, for example, the administrative parking lot upgrades, there's a benefit to all of our services because it's the administrative office that delivers all those services. So that $100,000 proposed project is split out by a percentage to water, sewer, fire, and park based on the estimated usage, traffic flow of that, you know, going over the parking lot benefit. It's typically number of customers, you know, and also administrative effort coming and going. So we've got administrative parking lot upgrade. We did not do any of that this year. We basically put together an engineering plan that we can now implement over the next few years. And as it goes with paving, you've got to catch it before it completely fails. And once it completely fails, then you can put stuff over the top of it all you want. It's never going to hold up. And the good thing is the majority of this was constructed correctly. And so it's actually held up very well. So with some maintenance improvements, some small replacements, we can get that back up to a good to very good range. And then every 5 to 10 years, we'll just put a coating over the top of it and keep it where it needs to be. I mean, I realize it's a big expense, but that will not function when it fails, and it'll be much more expensive to replace the whole thing. The fuel tank project is something that Louis's been working on for a long time. It's been a somewhat of a confusing project just because it's working with a number of different vendors that don't integrate very well together, but he's finally got it worked out. And a lot of this is an automation project for the future. We found that especially during the PSPS, people were getting fuel around the clock, fire department, district staff, you know, to be able to fill generators and keep things moving and keep trucks on the road. And so we got behind the curve on ordering fuel and could have very well ran out of fuel. In fact, we had to go to Miner's Mart for a period of time and get some fuel because the ordering of the fuel did not come quick enough. This automates the system where the level is apparent of the fuel in the tanks. It's also accessible by the vendor so that they can keep tabs on it, sends them an email when it's low, and also logs the fuel used. Basically, employees have their own card so that every time they swipe their card, that gas that they use is attributable to their card for counting purposes. So that we can, rather than just writing on a sheet that, you know, and then somebody has to take that information and try to log it and make sure it's correct. This is basically a sealed system where we'll know exactly how much fuel is used and where it's going. And that's a really good thing going forward. Plus it's maintenance on the existing system that's falling apart. So, that's a one-time expense, hopefully, other than just software upgrades and all that in the future. District camera system, that's basically a security system setup. I don't want to tell you publicly in this about the status of our current security system, but this will install an updated system that provides for a current system that provides for good video feed and the ability to be able to monitor our primary locations. I have experience with that in vandalism reduction and also theft and other things. It works really well when you got a really good high quality video, HD video of somebody breaking into a gate or you know, breaking into a tailbox or a toolbox or stealing fuel or whatever. It's really a helpful item. The server upgrade is our complete upgrade of the server system. And I'm not exactly sure what all is involved in that. That was, and I'm not sure if Jennifer or Rachel have the details on that. But one thing that we're doing for the purpose of the final budget is we're preparing budget sheets. Anything that falls in capital outlay is going to have a sheet that explains what it is and what the benefits are and how it's funded. And that will give us a more information on this particular item. Jennifer, do you have any information on the server?
Yes. So we have a very old server that is like 2003 or I don't know, Microsoft operating. It's something that's super old because when I went to access the public server, what happened was my computer rebooted, or not rebooted, it updated. And when it did that, you can't reverse it apparently. So now I cannot communicate at all with the existing server that we have in place. My computer won't allow me to access the public server at all. And so that's essentially taking this extremely outdated server that's like Microsoft operating like 2003 and upgrading it. So it's we can all communicate with it with all your new equipment. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
good. That's kind of the explanation I was given. Sorry, I'm a very not tech-y person.
let's see this in the budget thing that you're talking about, but I mean, is this hardware as well? Are we upgrading
yes.
physical server as well as the operating right. system?
Yes.
What did we upgrade last year? We replaced a server last year.
We did, and I think it was the one our Springbrook was contained on, and I know it was Springbrook, and I don't know if there was something for like the operating side, but I'd have to check.
We'll address all this in the technology discussion because I need to be able to clearly explain what those items are. So we'll address that in our next round and when we get to the budget memo description and in that technology section and what we're doing there. So those are split out. I'll still take questions. I just want to run through and jump into the water capital projects. You'll see that we, from the approved budget column in water capital outlay, and that is on page 24, that we have the approved from this current fiscal year. What we project to spend was added for clarity and then proposed for the next year. So you can see where any projects might be carried forward into next year. So I think this is pretty clear. We're gonna wrap up the planning project. We actually wrapped it up, the grant funded project. There will be no more expenses related to that. We have a couple of categories: the general water pump replacements and distribution system improvements. Those seem to be the regular things that go out and need to be replaced on an ongoing basis. When we have our capital improvement plan, those locations will be specifically identified, and the goal would be to be replacing them on a schedule rather than waiting for them to fail. This is waiting for them to fail. When they fail, we replace it. Okay. So that's where we are and where we're going. So it'll be more definitive as we get to that point. We've got the parking lot. The 56,000 is a portion of that that's paid by water. We've got the portion of the fuel tank project that we just talked about. We've got some plant general maintenance items. They're capital improvements because they're going to extend the life expectancy of things like electrical cabinets and painting replaced coatings on things, replacing valves, different things like that, in total of about 20,000. Specific upgrades, 11,000 for a new AC unit. We've had some overheating problems with a VFD is a variable frequency drive It's a unit that controls the flow of electricity to a pump, and they can get really hot, especially when a building's not air conditioned properly. And this is for a small building. We've got generator upgrades in a specific location. We've got a couple of truck replacements. We've got the portion of the camera system and the portion of the server upgrade that's attributable to water. And then we show the full $3.4 million Big Creek Big Creek Clearwell. And now we've added the Butler Way bypass. The state has authorized that as an expense associated with this project. We're hoping the bids come in right. But in order to get water from one location to another, we have to upgrade a booster station. And we identified that in a planning meeting that had to be done in advance. So doesn't change the budget. It's just a $3.4 million expense budget, and there's a $3.4 million revenue offset in water. So basically, that number just shows up there for your, because it's a known project.
So the Butler Way bypass is just, you're upgrading the pump that's down off of Butler, right at the turn there in Butler Way? Is that what that is?
We're upgrading the whole thing, Bob, because it's I don't know whether that was self-engineered or what it was, but it doesn't function. It floods, the pumps get ruined, it's noisy.
I know they're out there periodically.
Yeah, it wasn't properly engineered. Let's put it that way. It was just built for a purpose to get water from one place to another. This is going to be an insulated small building with the pumps installed at grade level. So it will be a small structure that and pumps that are not noisy to begin with, that are serviceable, and hopefully we won't have the same problems there because we've lost some pumps and or some motors because of the flooding and problems with it. It's all below grade currently.
So this is just a minor thing, but on the AC, I have no problem with the AC upgrade for the plant, but if the VFD is overheating, wouldn't it make sense to get a bigger VFD or so that it...
We are looking at replacement of that. It gets too hot in the cabinet the way that it's configured, and I believe that this was the one that just recently failed, and it took them 2 months, 3 months to get it rebuilt and back to us. So we were without that treatment plant for that period of time. And because it's an old dinosaur, but to replace it means reconfiguring a lot of the electrical components and everything. So this, I guess, is necessary regardless, just because of the location and the heat that's generated.
The only thing that worries me about it isn't the expense. It's if it sounds like a Band-Aid. And then the question is that actually going to work, or are we going to find that it's still overheating? I guess that would be what my concern would be.
Okay. I'll address that. If we could get that in the notes to address, because I want to know, I need to know, that's one of the directions that we've given from the very beginning of this budget, is we want to move out of the realm of creating a project or a purchase to address a solution to a problem that is actually a bigger problem. Because for the, especially for the last 10 years, but even before that, we scrimped so much on our expenditures that we basically found a problem and solved it with a fix we could come up with, which ultimately created us more trouble in the long run. So now we are stepping back, and this is, if it's a controls issue, we also need to budget for the controls to be replaced, and maybe that it put the air conditioner off until afterwards. I don't know if it failed or not. We'd have to have Louis or Adam or Greg involved in the conversation. So we will resolve that too. Any more questions before I move off of water and into sewer?
Not for me.
All right, here we go. So sewer capital outlay, pretty green color, page 25. We have a few things that we expect to finish off, but in the month of June here, the lift station 16 crossing there, lift station obviously lift station 16. We have the planning project wrapped up as well. No additional expenses there. We expect to spend $1 on the sewer treatment plant reservoir one valves. Sorry.
What a deal.
I'm sure that's a rounded number. It's rounded from somewhere erroneous. So again, wastewater pump replacements. When we have our capital improvement plan, we'll have a progressive, proactive plan for upgrades of those. This is when they fail. The headworks improvement project, that text carries over and has other components. We basically combined a number of projects into a single project that will go out to bid. We have the headworks, the lift station 2, the recycled water irrigation sludge pump, and one other item that makes sense to all combine together for economies of scale when you got a good contractor out here to do the other work. Those things were all individual projects before. Again, they'll have a project sheet for the final budget, but the approved budget, the only thing that we've spent this year, and we probably will have some in this projected line, is the manufacture of the headworks unit. We authorized that quite a while ago, right around the first of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the plant shut down for a period of time for the manufacture of these equipments, and I'm not sure exactly what the delivery date of that is yet, but
sorry.
Go ahead. Oh, I thought I heard somebody asking a question.
No.
So that project will be better defined as a sewer improvement project. And it is funded out of the loan that we've already received. I'm not sure exactly how we're going to show the loan proceeds, because when you go back to the what Janice refers to as the big sheet, the combined sheet, shows a over $1 million deficit in sewer. That's not true, because we have $1.5 million that came in as a loan for these projects. So basically, we're going to take that loan fund that's already in the bank earning interest and fund the cost of this project. And also potentially the concrete grading by the screw press, which is another $120,000 you see down further, and potentially the road maintenance as well. If those make sense to combine into that single project, but they'll all be funded out of the loan that we already received. So our cash position will be different than it shows on the district-wide sheet. Does that make sense? We have $1.5 million in the bank that's going to pay for this big project cost that's showing a big deficit.
I'm sorry. How come it's not in the revenue?
Because it's different. It's not grant money that comes in on a reimbursement basis. It's money that's already there, like it's in a fund balance. So what, and Jen, I don't know, we really haven't landed on exactly how we're going to show it, but the best place might be to show it in the district wide when we put the fund balance in there, because we've got to project where we're going to be at the end of the year. Fund balance is how much cash you have available in that service.
Right. So,
you would see a big change in our fund balance in sewer because of that loan, so that when you are on that sheet, it doesn't show $1 million deficit.
Okay, so we don't have a fund. We don't show a fund balance anywhere on this sheet.
We hit it in the
you hit the column. Okay.
Yeah, because in the submittal that I put together.
Yeah.
We'd hit it because what it does essentially is it's based off of the budget numbers, obviously, and because of that, it's not an accurate fund balance. So it makes
what. Why is it based off of the budget rather than the actual fund balance?
Well, that's because we don't have actuals in this budget sheet. It's just budget through the budget. And we started with the actual fund balance that was taken from our financial statements when we first created this. But the way that the sheet works, it calculates the end fund balance that it then puts to the next fiscal year based on what our budget numbers are. And that's why we removed it, because it's misleading. It makes our net position it makes us look like we're going under when we're not going under, because the budget's obviously completely different from what the actuals are at the end of the year. So Pete and I were discussing that, you know, how we're going to change that so it's reflected accurately, to put an accurate fund balance in there. And so that's why it's just hidden for the time being right now. Because it was in there. It was included on the first sheet. I mean, the first version.
Okay, so just to make sure that point's clear, can we go back to page 5? I hate to do it, but go back to page 5, which is that annual budget. It's the district overall has the, I'm sure, severely compressed for everyone. Because it has all of the four funds plus admin.
Oh, the big sheet.
Big sheet.
Okay.
On big sheet, if you look at the very bottom, it says for each fund, for example, look at the sewer fund. So the second set of columns there, net or grand total expenses, net revenue. That means all your expenses minus all your revenue sources, and that's your total. In the 1920 year, we budgeted to be $695,000 in the red. Okay, now that's just, it's not a normal circumstance. It was because we were drawing from the accumulated fund balance to fund capital projects. We had a lot of projects that we were moving forward, and we knew we were going to take from our cash, carried over from prior years, to fund that, you know, expecting to be to draw down $695,050. But we did not spend all of that. We did not, those projects, for example, the Headworks project, we didn't know at the time when we did this that we were going to get a loan for it, you know, when we did the budget. So, basically, what we're saying is to include that $695,050 as, you know, deducting from our cash to start the year this year would be not a good picture. It would show way out of balance, because that number is actually maybe even going to be positive at the bottom line. And so then you've got to, if it's positive, then you've got to add it to the cash that you had from last year. You know, but we still have to estimate through the end of the year. So you estimated cash carryover from this year, plus what we had in the fund balance from last year, put that at the top. Then you subtract out all of your expenses for this year, and that where it shows 1,036,677. That is not a true number either, because we're drawing from that loan to fund that $1 million in projects. So anyway, when we add the fund balance, the actual projected fund balance at the top, which is our cash, and then this number at the bottom will look much different. That's all. I think this is the best place to show it up above revenue is, you know, that's where our fund balance will be. And we'll have a note that says, you know, we can put it at the bottom of the sheet or whatever, the loan, 2019 or 2020 loan amount of 1.475 million reflected in the fund balance. It's easier when it's there to explain it than when it's hypothetically there.
Right.
So I'm sure you've talked to the CPA about how to handle it, but if I was going to do it just off the top, I'd have on at the very bottom. So you show your operating expenses and your actual revenue. And then at the bottom, you just have a line for transfer from fund balance and show that you can cover it. And you just put in, because if it's a capital expense, you get to, it isn't displaying things correctly if you just show the expense without showing the fund transfer that is paying for the expense. Because elsewhere in the budget, you have the debt service for the loan that's covering the expense. So you can't, you know, we're not going to be losing $1 million. But you could just put that at the bottom, if nothing else, just as explanatory, you know, add this in and now it comes out maybe high, maybe plus, maybe negative, you know, but you only charge out you only transfer in the part that's actually attributable to the capital expense that you actually are planning to incur.
Okay, so where on this does it show the monies that we have, that we received last fiscal year for projects that we haven't done yet? Like the one we're talking about. It doesn't show anywhere, correct?
Say it again, the money that we've received for it?
Uh-huh. Money that, income or revenue that we have received during this fiscal year for projects that we have not started yet and have not been completed. So there's no...
The only one that we have that on is the fire inspectors. That's it. We never receive the money in advance. It's always in arrears.
Okay.
For example, okay. The $3.4 million, we will be spending that money and then submitting a reimbursement request to the state, and then 6 to 8 to 10 weeks after that, getting a reimbursement from the state for the money we spend. So we don't get anything up front per se.
Okay, except for the loan money.
The loan money, yeah. That's a complete anomaly, and that's why I think it needs to show, you know what, Jim, we probably ought to just go ahead and kick that one over to Gilbert and have them clean that up and tell us where we should show that loan money in the budget.
Okay.
I mean, you could show it as revenue because it's money that came in the door.
We got it,
but it's not actually revenue, so it needs its own line item of some sort.
Well, there's other revenue. What is other revenue?
Janice, that's what I was going to tell you. The other revenue line item does include the monies for grant that we anticipate to receive.
Okay.
That's why you'll see there's 3.4 in water for this upcoming fiscal year, and then there was 914 for the sewer planning for this current fiscal year that we're in right now. So we do reflect it in the other revenue as anticipated revenue.
Okay.
All right, so that was good. You know, this, if nothing else, is good discussion for us all to all be speaking mm-hmm. the same language about the budget and really, really good input for me and for us, I think, to get the final product that makes sense to everybody. So, like I said, back to the sewer on 25, a number of projects there that are improvements to the big dollar items, or improvements to the treatment plant area that would be funded with the existing loan funds, concrete, more concrete by the screw press, where we're doing a lot of driving to move sludge around as we look at ways to improve that sludge handling process. Road maintenance activities, we've got, it doesn't seem like we've got a lot of roads out there. We got a lot of gravel roads that we need to have some repairs on and renovations to get them up to speed. And we had them budgeted last year, but did not do them. We weren't able to get to it. So, and then you see the fund share items. Any questions on any of those?
No.
Actually, the new Bobcat for sludge handling, is that's going to be an additional Bobcat, or are we getting rid of one and replacing it with a new one?
That's going to be an additional Bobcat, just strictly for sludge handling. That way we're not tracking that all over the district yard and using it to unload pallets of salt and stuff. And so it's just going to be strictly on the sewer plant, and that's it.
Okay, thank you, Louie.
Can we get a shittier model for less
money? It will be after a couple weeks.
Yeah.
We're looking at something a little smaller than what they have too, and a rubber tire instead of the track, because it's just tearing up that track loader that we have, and it's just, the guys are tracking it everywhere.
Good questions. Okay. If you don't mind, I'll move on to capital outlay, fire capital outlay on page 26. These are, again, continuing to perform maintenance on the facilities at this point. We've got a major renovation project for the building that we've budgeted to complete this year. I don't know how we may complete it early next fiscal year. I'm not sure how that's going to go, but we're not anticipating having a budget for that, for additional work for that next year. However, when you look down further, Louie, can you explain the kitchen remodel as you know it?
Well, the guys are hoping to get a little more living space area with the new cabinets and some new LED lighting, and get rid of those fluorescent bulbs that they have in there, and trying to just clean up their living area where they kind of all congregate in for dinner time and everything. So that's pretty much it. New cabinets and new appliances and stuff of that nature.
So this is one of those areas where we from a budgetary perspective, this is being requested because it is sorely outdated. We don't have a specific source of revenue for this. It would come from the fund balance that's dwindling. We understand the interest and the need for this. I mean, we certainly want to support a functional, updated facility. It could save a little bit of electrical cost with appliances and lighting that is more up to date. But that is a fairly significant expense. And so anyway, I'm not throwing it out there to get beat up on it. It's just, this has been something that's in the preliminary budget that I'm not, the way that we're going with the fire budget, I have some concerns. We had to get the safety, the asphalt driveway approach, the building siding and some of those things, the facilities were going to fail and get worse without those. This is a little bit discretionary. So we need to strongly consider that versus as we approach a tax bit. I just want to make sure we don't get beat up on something here.
Which we have when I first saw the item, I thought, well, see, that's going to be a pretty good remodel. And then I remembered prevailing wage, and then I stopped thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, cabinets are cheap.
It costs us a lot more to do stuff than it costs, you know, as a district than it would cost as an individual.
Yeah, we're looking at remodeling our kitchen. It's not going to be near $60,000.
But you're probably not paying prevailing wage.
No, we're doing a lot of the work ourselves too. But.
It would be really, really nice if we could have a fundraiser and have everybody that benefits from the fire department donate. Not just the district constituents. Reach out to everybody on 120.
It's a good idea.
You never know.
I fully expect we'll get a lot of pushback on it because it is a large dollar amount for
right
machinery.
Louis, is that an estimate or is that a guess at this point?
Well, it's actually the gentleman that was getting ready to do the outside work came in, did some measurements, and gave a pretty accurate number on that. Not on paper anywhere, but he went in and measured everything and told him the type of cabinets that he recommended, and so pretty close.
So we're going to bring this forward. I'd like to suggest that the project sheet identifies all of what we're getting for that in terms of the, you know, the physical construction renovations and appliances and what, you know, if we can provide more detail, that'd be really helpful to me to know what we're getting.
Okay, Jude actually did fill out that form. I don't know if it was in all that context you just said, but it's pretty filled, or it's pretty informative what he did. So I'll send that over to you guys.
Okay,
is that commercial
on Friday? I don't know that I.
Yeah. Commercial grade.
Is that commercial grade?
I don't believe it's so much commercial grade.
Really?
I think that'd probably cost more, to be honest with you.
Because it's not commercial?
Yeah. Residential compared to commercial. Commercial stuff's a little bit more expensive.
I'm surprised. I was thinking with that $60,000 price that would be getting into commercial appliances.
Well, a lot of, like Bob was saying, a lot of that's labor, and it's with the lighting and everything of that nature, and then the countertops, depending on what type they choose, that's where, you know, that and the cabinets were a big, big portion of it.
Well,
are they looking at, like, stainless steel?
No, I don't believe so.
Well, stainless steel is pretty cheap.
Maybe on their appliances, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, stainless, I know that we were at Contra Costa, we're going to stainless because it's easier to keep clean. So we were running, our kitchens were going to stainless.
Stainless everything, like countertops, cabinets, everything?
Countertops, not cabinets, but the countertops and then the appliances.
Countertops. You can have any stone countertop that would be as easy to keep clean as stainless, I think.
Well, a lot of those granite and stuff like that, those are actually porous. And they actually, if you don't seal them every year and do all that stuff, then they tend to, you know, collect stuff. Whereas stainless is not porous. It's pretty good surface for cleaning.
Mine that was just put in, he said you have to be sealed like every either 5 or 7 years or something. Not every year. It's in my phone for whenever it's going to come up because I wouldn't remember it in 5 years.
Yeah. So we'll get more detail. I just looked at the capital sheet, and it you know, it does talk about the extent, but it doesn't. We'll know a little bit more about what that is, or a lot more about what that is, as we go forward with that.
And then do we know who we would have doing them? Like by whoever you already got a bid or an estimate from?
We would have to rebid that.
Aye. Okay, just out of curiosity, how many men are in the fire station every day?
They're looking at having 3 on staff now, right?
Okay, so we're just going to buy regular appliances for this kitchen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they don't need commercial because they're not cooking for a fire station of
quality 20. Stuff, especially if you're feeding hundreds of people, not 3. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Okay, that's all. Yeah, I would like to be able to see what this 60,000 includes, just out of curiosity.
You know that if anybody looks at it, we're going to get some stick on it.
Yeah, somebody has to have a design or something. We can't just walk a contractor into a room and say, okay, give us a price, because whose ideas are we using? The contractors or the firemen or someone from GCSD? So.
Well, that number came from the firefighters talking to him.
Okay.
Explaining what they wanted, and he recommended a certain cabinet which would hold up. He said just the durability of certain cabinets are better than others, apparently. And well, sure. So he threw out his recommended one, and actually Travis Chung, he heard of him, and he was already doing a lot of research on stuff. So, but yeah, they sat there and they said, this is kind of what we want. And it was just a, you know, ballpark figure, but he said with doing the lighting and all that, the new cans, you have to do sheetrock work and all that kind of stuff. It came out to, you know, he said around 60, and that's, he said, playing it safe, but still that's a pretty realistic number.
Can you say who the contractor is that looked at it?
That was Ron Hessler.
Okay. Well,
What's that?
How big is their kitchen area?
It's like huge. It's huge.
They are actually adding some cabinets. They're going to turn the corner with them. So I don't know off the top of my head exact measurements.
Like how many cabinets do you need for 2 to 3 people? Well, since the person only has 2 people, you know, can't have enough. But
that also is like their meeting room, and you know, if they have office, little offices down there, but it's a big room if they were going to have other people.
Okay.
They have 2 shifts, and you know, people may hang out for a little bit and discuss what happened on a prior shift and blah 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 blah. So there's it's,
well,
it's
and
large
they
room.
They share their cabinets too, where they have their own personal stuff they bring in as well. So it's kind of, you know, their food with their name on it. And anyway, there's a whole bunch to it, but their counter space right now is pretty minimal for if they're trying to prep any kind of food, that's for sure.
Yeah, they don't have a prep area. They've just got counter space.
No. And that's barely any of that.
Yeah. Having, you know, just done this not too terribly long ago, you'll hit $50,000 or $60,000 pretty darn quick. I mean, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we'll get more information on this item.
We will.
So we'll be prepared.
Right.
Okay.
So is it safe to move on then to capital outlay?
Yes.
On page 27. The Yeah, I'm going to recommend that unless something changes between now and the time that this budget is considered for final adoption, that we remove the very last item, the $200,000 per capita grant. First off, we don't have the projects identified and prioritized, and it hasn't been through the board. And we also don't know, this money is, they just keep extending it, and I don't know when it's going to come out, and I don't know what the criteria is going to be anymore. So what I think would be best is to pull it out of the budget, because it just shows up in expenses and not revenue. So it really it unbalances the numbers on the fund, the sheet. So we just take it out of there, and the board, the first thing you would do is when we start to see movement on that grant and they come out with allocations, is we will have the board consider that list of projects that we'll do within that money, and then do a budget amendment to add that in, and then we'll know how much revenue we'll get from the grant, and we can make decisions based on that. So I would suggest we just take that out if that doesn't hurt anybody's feelings here, because I don't know that we're gonna spend it or get it at this point. So that would leave the fund share items and the fuel tank and the admin parking lot, and also a couple of just very specific items one, the park door upgrades. We've got some stuff stored down there that needs to be protected, and that facility is not constructed very well to be able to lock up right. Louis, do you have any, where'd that number come from? Do you know the 10670 exactly?
It came from Vortec Doors out of Sacramento. That's like one of the only metal door companies that I could find to come do work for us. And that was their number from their site visit. And okay. I actually just had it resubmitted again, and that was an updated quote with the new additional charges and labor.
Okay.
And I believe it's a little less than that, but I just wanted to just err on the side of caution, so I upped it a little bit.
Yeah. And that's specific to the amphitheater. That doesn't include anything for the bathroom doors?
No, not for the bathroom doors up top, nope. Just the amphitheater bathroom doors that keep getting broken into, and they're breaking the door jams and stuff all the time. These all have metal door jams and blocker plates, so they can't get in around the strikers or anything.
So didn't we discuss moving these amphitheater bathroom doors to the inside so the people using the amphitheater has access to them, but not park people?
We did have that discussion, yep.
And is that not going anywhere?
That's kind of like a whole renovation project in a way, though, to remove the doors and put them on the inside. And so I don't know.
Okay, I think that was at a park meeting.
Yeah.
Okay, park meeting chit-chat. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, we're really struggling with the planning for the park, because we're inclined to just do what we've always done in the past and go, you know, we identify a problem, we go forward with a fix, and then pretty right. soon we fix something that creates us problems in other areas or doesn't meet our needs because we haven't really had it professionally looked at. You know, we're dealing with facilities that were placed for a purpose and aren't for that purpose anymore, and so anyway, we'll have this in continuing in the budget in this way. We might be inclined to do a change to that and actually invest that money into some planning, so that we actually have a plan for what improvements need to be done there, what the planning and construction costs would be for other things. We don't really know how to program upgrades out there because we don't really know what needs to be upgraded. We need some professional or architectural engineering building advice on some of these things so that we don't build something that doesn't function.
Right.
We're really scrimpy with our park money because we don't have much of it, but this may be, you know, this is there just because it keeps getting broken. But in reality, there's a lot of other things there, from irrigation to electrical to lighting to access to, you know, parking and accessibility and signage and everything that needs to be looked at. So I'd say we leave this in there for discussion at this time. We'll have a project description that talks about what we've got, well, before we move forward with that, we'll look at the option of getting some professional assistance.
Didn't I talk to you at the park meeting about the percentage between some of the things on the park capital outlay were at 5%, where on the fire department it was 1%?
Yeah, that's one change that we did not yet make to the overall program, which could significantly
change the numbers
between park and fire.
Okay.
If we move more of the administrative expense to fire from park, and the administrative expense, you know, being everything in that administrative budget is applied on a percentage to the services.
Mm-hmm.
Right now and last year, this year, next year, and probably the year after, we're going to have as much effort in the administration and traffic and board consideration and items related to fire as we are park. In the beginning, back in 2017, when I first was introduced to the district and when we first developed the budget to apply a percentage of the administrative cost to park, because we didn't have that before. We were basically subsidizing it with the other funds. We did it based on the fact that I got staff input that the park was a big administrative effort where the fire was not. And it was true. And that year it was, you know, we didn't see the future. Now I see the future and see what the level of effort is going to be. I think park and fire need to be adjusted. The administrative expense needs to be at least even, so maybe 3% each or something. So we'll debate that internally and explain our rationale when the next version of the budget comes out. Jen, I don't know if you have any input or thoughts on that, because that is kind of a big deal.
Well, I think we have to. I mean, I know when we were dealing with this, when we were with the parks, it's like, okay, well, the money's tight, but that doesn't change the fact that there are real expenses associated with the fund that have to be for transparency and to give the public, you know, a clear idea, and even the district, of what the true cost for these funds are, especially when it comes to like when we go out for, revenue measures. If we're leaving part of the picture out of it, that's not transparent, and it's not
right.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point when you look at the fact that we charge the park, even at the 5%, $73,048 proposed. You know. Mm-hmm. There's no way that if that was a park district, a separate division of the county or anything, that they could have an office and staffing and equipment and, you know, permitting and improvement projects and everything for that amount of money. It would be, it would be much more costly to administer it, you know. So that's a doable number. But in reality, I think the only thing that I am a little cautious about is fire. You know, if we do get a measure approved, fire is going to even out. the level of effort, because CAL FIRE takes care of everything, is not going to be huge if we don't get a revenue measure passed. Either it's going to get worse and more difficult to administer with the money that we have. You know, we're going to be doing more battle over it, which is likely, or we're not going to be in the service at all. And then it changes completely. So.
Okay. Thank you. God, what a nightmare that's going to be.
So that is that's a good discussion. That was going to kind of be my closing discussion, really, because that does have a material effect on the budget. So we'll be looking at a change to that allocation, and we'll explain it. And
okay.
And we'll remove that $200,000 from the park budget for now, and do a budget amendment when the state releases the money.
Okay.
I'm pretty much done. I'm pretty much worn okay. out.
Okay. So, are there any other? Are we going to adjourn, or does anybody want to add anything?
I'd just like to ask, how long more are we going to be doing these meetings? I just missed a bunch of the meeting because of this stupid internet. And I'm getting tired of this crap.
The internet here?
Yeah.
I'm at the district office,
and I can't even get this stuff at home, but I mean, this is.
Well, we're all in the same boat, John. We're all sitting somewhere at a desktop, doing the meeting that we have to do. So until it's safe to do back in the office, this is how it's got to be. And right now,
he may not be able to hear us. I can't tell.
Can you hear us?
I can offer John my property. I don't know if John can hear me.
This is why he loves it so much.
Yeah. I was going to ask, though, Pete, like, or Ronnie, either one, whoever, what is the latest with the state instructions?
We're in, like, 2.5. We're in stage 2.5.
Not together in groups.
If we get, see, the problem that we have is we can't limit the number of people that enter the room. Once we open it, we can't say, no, you're not welcome because you're too many. Now we can't maintain adequate social distancing. So we have to treat it as if we're going to have 100 people in that room, or we're going to have a packed room every single time.
Okay.
We just don't have the facilities there to be able to accommodate that.
Right.
I suppose if we had the venue to be able to do it outside and it was expandable and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the amphitheater at the park. Why don't we have it at the amphitheater at the park?
We'd have to see if it's accessible and some other things.
Yeah.
If we're going to do that, just have it in the parking lot. If we're going to go outside, just have it in the parking lot at the district. I mean, we've done that before. A couple of times when we had Prop 218 meetings where we had to have a bunch of people available.
So, yeah, maybe way too hot.
As a director back in the 2000, we had meetings in the firehouse where we took all the engines out and opened up all the bay doors. So we've had meetings at other places. I'd like to bring up a subject that was spoken about when we first started the budget meeting today, and it was about the amount of people that the district has and how to advance them in steps and training, increases in pay and things like that. I also heard several times about information systems, SCADA information systems, server replacements, when was the last server replaced, John's having challenges right now with the lousy internet service at the district, and we just really can't afford to have a lousy internet at the district. I think we should consider a network administrator as an employee at the district, possibly up at the first line supervisor or maybe the mid-management level of some way, to keep track and possibly improve the communications and the information systems that come into the water district. Does anybody else, am I way off base here, or what do you guys think about that?
If the question is of staff, we're definitely thinking about it. That's why I'll be creating a separate discussion point about the technology, because it's not only hardware. Hardware is only a piece of it. It's the software. It's the software upgrades. It's the integration. It's the ability to be able to vision what's needed and keep it functioning, and to be, you know, just like we have Ronnie to deal with the social media on an instantaneous basis whenever it happens. We don't have that luxury when it comes to IT. We have had zero success with engaging anyone in the region, even outside of the region, that's an immediate response for our problems, other than we did develop this relationship through Aqua Sierra with their particular person who's doing a great job. Now, if that guy leaves and they get somebody else in there that puts them back with everybody else, that's a problem. It was a nightmare when we first, when I first joined the district and we had no one doing it. It was, and then we had other contractors doing the work. So yes, absolutely we are, because we have every single station that we own and operate in the field. We have all of our information technology systems in the office, that many of them are approaching their life, and we're keeping them functioning without being able to really look at the whole picture, just because we're not the IT people. So yes, we're looking at it.
And just so that, you know, it's all encompassing, make sure that when you start developing a job description, the acronym SCADA is in there, so that that person at least has an idea that he or she will be coming in waist deep into a SCADA, and not only an IT system that needs to be brought up to date, brought up to the 1990s, maybe 2000s. I don't know. I don't know where it is exactly. I don't work there anymore. But SCADA is a big thing. I mean, if you've got a lift station overflowing and the SCADA is not telling you, we have $1 million fines looking at us. So yeah,
don't we have SCADA? Don't they offer assistance? A remote assistance?
I don't know. Louis? It's a fair question, Janice. I don't know.
Louis?
They do have remote access to certain sites, but not all of them. That's something that you'll have to develop in the future, our projects, and bringing in outside services to come do that, like Aqua Sierra. But they do have access to certain areas of our system, like our water treatment plants and at the headworks, or the main sewer treatment plant. But remote access is one of those things that runs off of internet. And yeah, you have to be secure getting into it. So you have to have your security and all that stuff has to be maintained, or it's vulnerable. So just more technology. And if we're moving that route, I think, just like Pete said, we have to look at, you know, how to make it, how to manage it.
Yes. So.
I was on a bit of a break, different subject. I was talking to a contractor who does underground services for, and I already sent this email to Pete, so this is no surprise to Pete, but we're getting ready to replace a bunch of water lines with sometimes bigger water lines and new water lines. And I was telling the guy, I said, how proud I was that the district had gotten the grant, and we were very well in the process of getting a $3.2 million grant to improve the water lines in Groveland and Big Oak Flat, which are 60 and 70 year old water lines. And the guy said, well, be careful what you do with the old water lines. I said, well, why? And he says, what you ought to do is sell them for conduit to internet power company or somebody that needs conduit from one place to the other. He says, it costs them $275 a foot to put that stuff in. He says, maybe you guys can put it to use. And I thought, hey, that's probably a good idea. I sent an email to Pete, and I'm letting everybody know this is kind of a public announcement. I sent an email to Pete, and he said he'd talk to the engineer about it and see if that's even possible in our situation. I thought that was a good idea coming from the pub. What do you guys think about that?
I think it's a good idea. We want to don't waste anything.
Because the water lines...
The asbestos may be a problem.
I'm sorry, sir?
The asbestos may be a problem in reusing.
Well, those are all things I don't know, but that's a good point, Bob. But just know that Pete's going to talk to the engineer about doing that. If we can do it, maybe we can, maybe we can't. But I just hate to see them plugged at either end or crushed and buried, or if there's some kind of use that we can maybe improve the internet up here. That's pretty sorry up here for us all. So I'm through talking. Thank you.
And by the way, we lost John because he got frustrated with losing internet so many times at the office.
Okay. Yeah.
I can reach out to John and offer to have him attend meetings in my little travel trailer. The internet's a bit better than it is at the district there. So I can at least offer that. And I'll call him. I think he has a landline, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell him he can come and sit at my house too if he wants to.
He does. He also has a cell phone. He just doesn't get reception all the time. I myself have had, well, actually today was pretty good, but I've had reasonable success with using my Verizon hotspot when everything else fails. I mean, that seems to, at least where I'm at, mm-hmm. my Verizon reception appears to be pretty good. So that's just, I mean, that's another alternative to not having continuous interruption.
Mm-hmm.
Back to your question, John's question about the timing of returning to normal. We have to also get a look at the district office as far as configuration. You know, is it possible to conduct board meetings there? And meet standards and all of that. I'm not absolutely certain. So anyway, I don't know if I'm freezing, but I don't know.
Freezing? You mean as in your
no.
thing is freezing or you're cold?
I'm watching my video and it's doing really weird things again.
Okay.
I mean, I think just to reiterate, Spence brought up a good point. The firehouse is big. You could put quite a few people in there, and that's actually indoors so that the noise level can be controlled
mm-hmm.
a little bit. It's just a thought. I mean, it would be nice to be able to have, Zoom is okay, but it certainly has its drawbacks, especially up here where the internet is so.
Mm-hmm. I will say that I have done a couple of board meetings in the fire, the at bay, and it's not doesn't work very well. It's hard to hear everybody. There's loud noises in there. It just hasn't been that convenient in the past. The recordings are horrible. And so it's just some food for thought.
I again could donate my property up at the end of Foot Street where you can hear a little bit of highway noise. There's plenty of space for people to be 6 feet apart with the amount of people that typically show up at a meeting. Mm-hmm. Just a thought. There's space available. There's ample parking. I'm happy to make that work if you guys decide you need to do that. And then you're avoiding public rental of it.
I appreciate that, Ronnie. I appreciate that, Ronnie. Thank you.
Of course.
These are all good discussion points about moving the meeting to where we can all be in the same venue, so to
right.
speak.
Right.
And there's shade. And where there is a shade, I have beach umbrellas.
That's why I had thought the amphitheater would be good. It's usually cooler under the amphitheater roof than it is outside of it. And it's a big, that's a big area.
Well, yeah, but you're sitting outside today when it's 86 degrees, 84 degrees.
Yeah, but I'm not under the amphitheater.
I wouldn't be sitting outside in 84 degrees under pretty much any. I'll be zooming in if we have it outdoors. Let me just put it that way.
Obviously, we need to get a plan together on our return. You know, and that is something that we're working through some of the details on how we're going to do it. But board meetings are going to be a little, you know, they're going to be a little bit difficult. We'll have to, if we're going to resume them in the district office, which is, you know, for staff is the ideal environment, we're going to have to
reduce
the number of staff that attend, the number of board members that attend, to allow members of the public to be there.
But couldn't we just allow members of the public to participate via how they are now? Isn't that how the county supervisors are conducting theirs?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Beautiful combo. Yep.
Yep.
I suggest that we let staff figure out what would be the most feasible thing and give us a
recommendation. Yes. Yeah.
Rachel, are you still there? Or who's in the office? I need to drop off my Form 700.
Megan's down there.
Megan and Deborah are down at the office right now.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay. Anything else? Okay, this meeting is hereby adjourned.
Louie, will you stay on a second so I can ask you a strange question?
Yes, you can.
Stop recording, Pete.
Well done.